Good morning. One of the things that they teach us is to never sing in a sermon, but the rector's not here. Can't you just picture Jesus at the end of this gospel singing to the apostles and everyone, "It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Could you be mine? Would you be mine?" So began every episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Fred Rogers was a student of child development. He always focused on the whole child and everything that makes a child unique. He recognized that whole children need whole adults in their lives, and he demonstrated that belief every day of his life. Now, Fred Rogers wasn't original in his thinking. He knew Jesus. Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." Now, when I was a child, I loved this image of Jesus, defender of the children, welcoming them by placing him lovingly on his arm. And some commentaries warn preachers not to over-sentimentalize this gospel. They tell us to spend time on the message that Jesus really intends for us to hear in order to prepare ourselves for servant ministry. We must humble ourselves like a child, not complete to be the greatest, to welcome being the least. And this, no doubt, is certainly a very, very important lesson. Other commentaries suggest focusing on the second foretelling of Christ's death and resurrection that appears in this gospel story. Jesus is going to be relinquished into human hands, and he's going to be forsaken by them. And this is a message that is central to our faith, an important part of our salvation story. And it's important for us to ask, who are we relinquishing into human hands this day, and who are we forsaking? Yet I want to today return to the children, because I spent most of my adult life working with children, and as a parent, I have always measured the health of a society by how well a society regards and cares for children. Now, in Jesus' time, children occupied a very, very precarious place in first century society. In Jesus' time, children weren't very well regarded at all. They had no status. They were often left to fend for themselves. One might even consider them a nuisance to be avoided. Get out of our way. And pretty much that's what the apostles were doing. In ancient times, extended families often lived together, with the men in one part of the house and the women in the other part of the house, and the children would toggle back and forth between the groups, sharing information that they picked up when they were in one part of the house. So you could see where that might be a problem. And that's probably what motivated the apostles to not want the children underfoot, because they might be spreading unfortunate gossip about Jesus in the community. Now, sadly, most children in Jesus' time didn't live very long. More than half of the children never reached puberty. They died of diseases and malnutrition. They were sometimes loved and sometimes exploited, depending on how they were perceived to benefit the society. Roman law gave the father absolute authority over his family, which even extended to issues of life and death. As late as 60 AD, a father could put his son to death by his own order. Children were considered to be the lowest of status in the ancient world, and the apostles seemed to be buying into the prevailing view of the time. They tried to keep the children away from Jesus. Now, Hebrew teaching, which Jesus knew and understood, challenged the prevailing view, elevating the family and the children. Hebrew scripture taught that all children were truly a gift from the Lord. And the gospel writer that we know as Mark in this gospel seems to be further elevating children in telling the story about Jesus. Now, we're told that Jesus was indignant at how the children were treated by the society and by the apostles. And translated from the Greek, it meant that Jesus was much grieved about how children were being treated. And in perhaps Jesus, who was an observant Jew, understood the Talmud teaching, which said that a child in the street tells what his father and mother says at home. And if I can put that into today's language for you, what children learn from each one of us in our society, in our homes, in our faith institutions, is what they begin to understand about their worth and how they are valued by the society that they live in. Clearly, Jesus in this gospel valued children. He often uses them as an example in scripture. The kingdom is for those who are poor and hungry and dispossessed without rights, those who are without esteem and those who lack status. The kingdom belongs to people who are imbued with the characteristics of children: trust, receptiveness, simplicity, a childlike heart. One should humble oneself like a child in order to inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus blesses the children in this passage, not because they fasted, not because they made sacrifices, or knew and followed law. He blessed them because they had simple hearts. Now, in a culture like his own, where the culture honored power and individuality and those with wealth, Jesus often embraced those who had no power, those who were subject to the whims of others, those who were totally dependent on others for care. The kingdom breaks through in the least likely of places. Now, it makes you wonder how Jesus would feel about our own treatment of children today in our own society. Now, for those of us who live comfortable lives, who have raised or are raising our children with every blessing, you may be sitting there questioning my thinking. And I understand the perplexed reaction you may be having. I spent most of my adult lifetime working with children who, for the most part, had many advantages, many blessings. It's easy to become insulated and not to understand the real depth of the problem. But let's look at some of the facts, at the risk of depressing you this morning. Children remain the poorest age group in America, with children of color and young children suffering the highest poverty rates in the most highly developed resource nation in the world. More than 1 in 3 children are burdened in households by housing costs. More than 15 million children in public schools experience homelessness. Millions of children live in food insecure homes, where not everyone has enough to eat. Black and Hispanic children are twice as likely to live in food and insecure households. We meet these children on our sidewalk on Saturday mornings at Saturday Kitchen. Millions of children under the age of 19 in our nation live without health care insurance. These rates are particularly high for Hispanics, for undocumented children, and children who live in low-income families. Now, America's schools, a particularly painful reality for this educator, continue to slip backwards with deep racial and economic segregation, what I call a form of apartheid, perpetuating achievement gaps. Nationally, Black, American Indian, and Alaska Native families are disproportionately impacted by our child welfare system. Gun violence continues to be the leading cause of death for children in our country. And black children and teens are more likely to die from gun violence than their white peers. LGBTQ students describe the persistent patterns of isolation and exclusion and marginalization that make them feel unsafe and unwelcome at school. Students describe hearing slurs, lacking resources relevant to their own experiences, being shamed for having same-sex relationships, and being regularly misgendered, and it all makes school a very hostile environment for them, impacting their health and their well-being. And unfortunately, the harmful effects of the pandemic we have been living through, living in the shadow of the cross of this pandemic, has had a profound impact upon children worldwide. The effects of the pandemic are not equally distributed. Most damage as a result of the pandemic happens in the poorest neighborhoods, to those who are already disadvantaged and in vulnerable situations. Approximately 150 million children worldwide are living this day in multidimensional poverty, without access to education, healthcare, housing, nutrition, sanitation, or water, all due to the COVID pandemic. Now, it's not hard, my friends, to believe that Jesus is feeling much grieved as he looks on our own treatment of children this very day. Our children, Fred Rogers has explained, are extensions of ourselves, each one of us. He says that we live in a world where we need to share responsibility for our children, when it's all too easy for us to say, it's not my child, not my community, not my world, not my problem. And we need to step out of the shadow of the cross that we are living in and step into the light of the resurrection, where we live a life that is truly rooted in the community that Jesus wants us to live within. Now, often I'm told, well, these ideas are great, but what do you want us to do? So here it is. Google children's advocacy today. There are a myriad of resources for you to engage you in actually writing to advocate for public policy, for raising funds to support organizations that directly reach children, or actually getting on the streets and protesting and standing up for the rights of children in our city and in our country and in our world. Because that's the way that you can welcome a child in Christ's name. Our life as Christians is much more than this beautiful worship on Sunday mornings. It's acting. Bishop Chip Stokes of the Diocese of New Jersey aptly reminds each one of us that we as Christians need to step out of our comfort zones. We need to engage in outreach that not only eradicates the need, but the injustice that causes the need to exist in the first place. And take that in a moment. Not only eradicate the immediate need, but the injustice that's causing that need to exist. So at the risk of having depressed you with this sad news today, let me lift you up with this bit of hope. Let's vow to make this an every day a beautiful day for our children, for all children, because they are all our children. And let us look at all children and perhaps hear us sing, "Would you be mine? Could you be mine?" Amen.